your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. We do have problems in America. I was with you about a year ago. We had just had an election. We had a new Congress. We had a new president. And folks, in the past 12 months, since the last time I was here, a lot of things have happened in America and in Indiana that are not good for the families and our freedoms and our churches. But what are we supposed to do about that? We can get despondent, discouraged. We can get just disappointed and just get sad and say, well, you know what? God's in control, and he is. And Jesus could come back tomorrow, and he could. So we're just going to fold our tent, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's wrong. Because Jesus said to occupy until he comes back. And as you look around, if any church ought to understand the need to stand for righteousness in our culture, it's your church. You know why? Because you've got a preacher that understands the need for Jesus Christ to be the head of the home. He understands the need for Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. And he understands the need for Jesus Christ to be the head of government too. And because of that, he is concerned about the next generation. Not just you folk, but those precious bus kids that you have. Those bus families need somebody to be an advocate for them, and that's why you go out and you try to reach them, and you try to reach their families. Not just the children, but to reach the families too, and you're doing that. But those precious children that go, for example, to the public school, they deserve the opportunity to not have laws passed in Indianapolis that would affect what they're being taught in the school about things that are right and wrong. You see, folks, up there in our government, in the State House, and in Washington, it's like what the Bible says. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And one day they'll call good evil and evil good. There are a whole lot of people in government that do not want to take a stand and say something is right and something is wrong. Well, what they need to do is just follow what the Bible says. If the Bible says something's right, then that makes it right. And I've been doing this now for, this will be our 30th year this November. And people that have heard me speak other times say, you know what, Brother Miller, you're saying the same thing that you said 28, 29 years ago. You know why? Because it's rooted in the Word of God. The Bible doesn't change. And be grateful for a preacher that has a desire to teach you the truth about the Lord being the head of the home, the church, and government. There's a whole lot of pastors that will not take a stand. That's why I appreciate what he's done by encouraging other pastors to join with and support the work of Advance America. I'm grateful for the churches that do support us, but as you pray for us, we need a whole lot more churches who say they believe the Bible to say, you know what? We need somebody down there because we can't be there all the time, letting us know what's going on in our government. As the preacher said, America has some problems, but America is still the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we don't need to give up. Folks, this is one of the most important elections in our lifetime. And we need to do what Jesus said. We need to occupy until the Lord comes back. Yes, we've got the liberals that want to destroy America. We've got individuals that introduce bills that if they're followed through, they would destroy the very freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. But America is still the greatest country on the face of the earth, and I want America to return to its glory days where Jesus Christ was honored and exalted, where unborn babies were protected, where marriage is between a man and a woman, churches are not taxed, and churches are not attacked and regulated or controlled. Those precious bus kids and your children and your grandchildren and some of your great-grandchildren, they deserve to live in a state and in America where Jesus Christ is honored and exalted, the Constitution is revered, and we have individuals in government that respect the Word of God, honor the Word of God, and fear the Lord. And you know what? We've got a few that will do that. You're fortunate down here. You've got a senator and a representative who are taking right stands in government. And that is Senator John Waterman and Representative Bruce Borders. And you've got a former sheriff down here. Now, since he's not going to run for governor, John, would you like to run for governor? Well, if he can't run... But you know what? Now, think with me. When a good person does run for office, you need to support him. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying when somebody does say, I'll put my name on the ballot, then they say, yes, I'll pray for you, but yes, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to help you as well. That's one of the things we're going to talk at the end. But where's the problem today? Is the problem the liberal media? To be sure, they cause us problems. Is the problem the liberal politicians? To be sure, they cause us fits there at the State House as well. Is it people that are just sitting on the sidelines and doing nothing? You're getting close. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people... This is a solution to the problems that we're facing in America. This is the solution to turning America back toward the Lord and turning Indiana back toward the Lord. If my people, Christians, blood-bought saints, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, they realize they need the Lord. This is bigger than any one of us, folks. This is bigger than any one church. This is bigger than any one group of people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Yes, get burned about what's happening in America. Get burned about what is and is not going on at the state capitol and in Washington, D.C. But then pray about it as well. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we need to have people that say, yes, Lord, I need you. I can't do this on my own. But by the way, folks, we can't. You can't raise your family on your own. This church can't run on its own. If this church tried to just exist with what the pastor's own energy, then it won't be what the Lord wants it to be. And I appreciate what he's got up here. Daring to desire a double portion. All of us ought to want to live a life and see our church be what it could be when people look at it and say, there is no way Blessed Hope Baptist Church could be doing the things that it's doing if it were not for the Lord blessing the people of the church. And so that's what I know that you want here. But that's the answer to America. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then a promise. Look at this. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I do not know if God is through with America. I don't know that. But I know there was a guy named Jonah that thought that Nineveh was through, but God said, no, look at those people. They repented, and they turned to the Lord, and God spared a whole wicked city. So you know what we just need to do tonight is we look at this, and as we look at the battles that are being fought, just to say, you know what, dear Lord, would you please turn America back to you? Dear Lord, we want freedom in America, freedom to worship you freely. We want the opportunity not to have our church taxed, but to be able to use the money and send out more missionaries, start more churches. Lord, we want that. Lord, in your mercy, will you forgive us for what we have not done? Forgive us for the sins of our land. Dear Lord, save America. And you know what? The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Well, maybe tonight at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, there's boys and girls, teenagers, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, that tonight will purpose in their heart to do even more with intercessory prayer for our great land, to turn it back to the land of the free and the home of the brave. Lord Jesus, Lord, nothing that I try to do in my own strength is anything that will bring any lasting impact on lives, on this church, on our state, or our nation. Lord, I pray tonight that you would speak through me. Use me, Lord, to convey a message to these precious folk. Thank you for their wonderful pastor, who is our friend, who is our ally, who loves you, who's leading this church to greater heights than it's ever been. Bless him abundantly. Protect his ministry. Protect these families. And Lord Jesus, turn our state, our nation back to you. Lord Jesus, may we see a time soon when righteousness is exalted in the halls of Congress, in the White House, in our state house, and in local government as well. Lord, you can do that. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, but we just need to do our part, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, Lord. Our part. Bless this time tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that your bus ministry could grow if more people went out in prayer, knocking on doors. But you know another way to have your bus ministry grow is to have a revolving door through your bus ministry where you reach a boy or a girl, and all of a sudden then you reach mom or dad, and all of a sudden mom or dad are now helping out on the bus ministry or using their car to bring those, and now those children aren't riding the bus, so now you got more space on the bus for more kids. The Lord wants to bless your bus ministry more than you want to be blessed, because he wants people to know that there's a God in Jasonville, Indiana that answers prayer. He wants that. He wants your church filled with people in here saved and on fire for Jesus Christ and sending out missionaries so that his name will be honored and glorified. He wants to do that more than you want that done. And I believe our Lord still wants to turn our nation back to Him. He wants that. So we're going to talk about tonight some of the battles and let you just get excited about what could happen, because light shines brightest in the darkness. These are dark times in our country. But you know what? But there is still a light. There is still a remnant. That remnant is sitting in Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana tonight. That envelope that you've got, take out of there, that first item that talks about your eyes and ears in government. We're going to talk about some of the battles that are going on right now in your state capitol. I'll be going back there. Dwayne Martin, who's with me tonight, Dwayne is one of our attorneys there. I'm blessed with a staff of Christians that work with me with Advance America. We started Advance America. How many of you, this church has been supporting us since the early 1990s, maybe the mid-1980s, long, long time, probably well over 20 years. How many of you have been in this church more than 20 years? Would you raise your hand? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How many of you have heard me speak before in the last 3, 4, 5 years? Would you raise it? Most of you. That's fantastic. And you still came back tonight. That's great. It's because you didn't know I was coming. But no, I appreciate you all being here. But let me tell you a little bit, just a reminder, a refresher, and for the new people, some things about Advance America. We were started in the basement of Ecodel Baptist Church with just 10 people. We had a desire to change the laws ahead of time and protect freedom. Some of you know the name Lester Roloff. He had gone to jail in Corpus Christi, Texas, merely because he wanted to have a ministry that was free of government control. But we decided in Indiana, let's protect our churches and Christian schools and families. Let's solve problems ahead of time in the government. Let's work with Republicans and Democrats, senators and representatives. Let's read the bills ahead of time. When we find a bill that's bad, let's try to stop it. Let's try to pass some good bills. Let's try to put the word out to people about where the candidates really stand. The things I'm going to talk to you about tonight, if you read the local newspaper every day, you won't read about most of these things. If you listen to the radio, unless it's Christian radio, you won't know about these things. And if you watch TV and watch the news, you won't know about these things. The politicians know that there is no way you can keep up to date on things that are happening. And so that's where Advance America comes in. We're your eyes and ears. Dwayne is one of the attorneys that helps me with Advance America. The other one is Jim Waters. We have a special handout for you we used at a ladies' meeting earlier this year. It's called a Glove Compartment Accident Guide. Dwayne and Jim Waters are two excellent attorneys that not only help with Advance America, but they also are part of our law office. For over 25 years, we've fielded phone calls from Christians, pastors that have a legal need. We don't charge for that initial phone call, regardless of what it is, whether it's a personal injury case, whether it's a will, an estate, family law, or anything else. Please call us. There's no charge for that. But please pick up one of these as you go to leave. You need to have this in your car, every car that you have. It's a glove compartment accident guide. Tips that you need to know about to help protect you in the event you're involved in an accident. So if we can help anybody with regard to anything in the future, a legal need, please contact us. But please pick up one of these for each vehicle that you've got as you go out of here tonight. Now, Advance America is not a Republican or Democrat organization. I irritate both parties because I had somebody ask me today. Somebody asked me today, brother. He said, we had some question and answer time at a Baptist church where I spoke in Indianapolis. He goes, isn't one party usually with you more than the other party? I said, yes, that's true. But we've got people in both parties that are wrong on abortion, wrong on homosexuality, and other issues. So that's why we are not a Republican or Democrat organization. We put the truth out to people so they'll know where the candidates stand and based upon where they vote, where they voted. But none of our materials identify people on our voter guide or voting record as a Republican or as a Democrat. But we're your eyes and ears down there. You can't be there to read the more than 1,000 bills. We do. You can't be there to testify all the time before committees, so we testify before committees. You can't be there to talk to the Republicans and Democrats. I made a phone call coming here, 3 phone calls. Your cell ability down here for cell phones is much better. You must have clout with somebody, brother. My goodness, we're going through these hills and going around everything, and I'm talking to one of our state elected officials about a bill that we're trying to stop. Talk to a state representative from over around the southeast side of the state about the marriage bill I'm going to talk to you about in just a minute, and then left a message for a state senator in northern Indiana and had good reception most of the time. So that's fantastic. Now, let me talk to you about the first issue, marriage. On your sheet that you've got there, it says protecting marriage. When we started in 1980, we didn't think we'd ever have to protect marriage, you know what I mean? In 1980, everybody understood marriage was between one man and one woman. Everybody understood that. Bible-believing Christians still understand that. But there are a lot of people in government, I'm talking national level and at the local level, who believe if that's what somebody wants to do, two men, two women, three men, three women, whatever they want to do, that's their business, that's okay. It's not okay. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundation of our society is what God ordained. It is the family. It is one man and one woman. That's the foundation. If you had built this building, or your new facility over here, if that foundation wasn't right, then it would start to crumble. The foundation is important. It is vitally important. Besides that, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We can't continue in America to mock God on the issue of marriage and expect God to bless our land. We need Bible-believing Christians. And by the way, do not apologize for believing that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. This next generation needs to hear that this is wrong. This is right. This is right. And do that. Don't apologize. Do it with a broken heart. But don't apologize for believing that marriage is right between one man and one woman. Now, last year, there was a state right here in the Midwest, Iowa. It was after I was with you last year. Iowa, the Supreme Court of Iowa, by a vote of 7-0, not Massachusetts, not California, Iowa, 7-0, ruled that homosexual marriages are legal in the state of Iowa. We have been arguing for a constitutional amendment to protect marriage in Indiana because we are one, don't miss this, one court decision away from homosexual marriages in our state. If that were to happen, boys and girls that do not go to your Christian school, that go to the school in Jasonville, Sullivan, around here, they will be taught, beginning in kindergarten, that marriage between two men and two women is okay. It's not okay. No society has ever continued to exist in the history of mankind that has ever condoned homosexuality. You're concerned about the future for your children and your grandchildren and the job they might have. Folks, I'm concerned about jobs as well. But if we get the economy turned around, but we continue down a moral abyss, then America's going the wrong direction, folks. The most important thing, now I want good paying jobs, but I want to stop things like homosexual marriages too. And we can have both things. By the way, I believe God will bless us financially as we put him first with tithes and offerings, and as we put him first with regard to taking a stand for what's right. So what can you do on marriage? Well, your state representative, Bruce Borders, you can pray for Bruce because Bruce would like to vote for this. But you know what? The current majority, led by Speaker Pat Bauer out of South Bend, is blocking this from getting on the floor of the House. If it doesn't get on the floor of the House, then we can't vote for it. And if the next 4 years, before that's the earliest we could then change the Constitution, homosexual marriages become legal here, then we got a problem in Indiana. We need to put this into the Constitution to stop a judge from saying homosexual marriages are okay. So you can call your state rep. Just call Bruce Borders or shoot him an email and say, thanks for standing up for marriage. But you can pray that we can put this on the floor of the House this year. Next one, protecting churches from government control. This has come up for over 30 years. There was a bill introduced this year that said if you have a child care ministry, you can only watch so many children, and here are the education requirements for the people who work in the child care ministry and lead that. That's none of their business. If you have a child care ministry, now don't miss this. Here's what the government's saying. If you have a church child care, in order to have that church child care at 9 o'clock on Monday, we're going to tell you how many kids you can watch and the education requirements for the people that are going to run that. If they can do that for 9 o'clock on Monday morning, they can do it for 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Think with me. If your church ain't safe for kids at 9 o'clock on Monday, that's not safe for them at 9 o'clock on Sunday. We cannot let the government tell us how to run a church child care ministry. Besides that, what business is it of theirs to say how many children you can have? And what business is it to say, well, your workers must have a high school degree, a college degree, or any degree? By the way, the best people to probably lead a church child care ministry, you know who they are? Grandmas. Because they've already heard and seen everything. They may not have a college degree, but they know how to handle kids. You know what I mean? I don't want the government coming in and saying, do your grandmas have a college degree? That's none of your business. Just leave us alone. By the way, if they can say it for a church child care ministry, they can say it for a Christian school too. It's none of their business. We stopped that bill this year. We contacted preachers all around the state. They came to the state house with me. Guess what? We had even contacted the church where the lady who introduced the bill goes. And one of her pastors came to the committee hearing, and he was on our side. And so that somebody said, did you contact the pastor? I contact pastors everywhere. And so I'm glad that they came. Just like I know when I contact your preacher, I know he'll pray for us. He puts out our emails. He contacts these people. When I ask him to get together a group of people, he'll do that as well. You need to pray for your preacher. Now, I mean this because you've got a preacher that takes a stand without apology for the Word of God everywhere. That doesn't make Satan happy. You know what I mean? I heard a preacher say one time, do something to make yourself worthy of attack by the devil. He's doing an awful lot to make his family. You need to pray for him and his family. Pray a spiritual hedge of protection around him and his family and this church and your family. But pray for this man because God wants to bless, and he is blessing this man and your church through this man. Satan would love to take him down. So you need to be praying and get behind him and support him in all that he's doing as the Lord leads him. Please do that with him. So we beat that bill. You know what, though? The state representative, Vanessa Summers, had introduced that. You know what she said in the paper already? She's going to reintroduce it again next year. So you know what? We'll be back again next year. And we'll be calling on preachers and calling on people because churches need to be free to hire who they want to hire and take care of the children that they want to take care of. Abortion on the right-hand side. Who performs most of the abortions? Who is the number one abortion provider in America? Planned Parenthood. Do you know that over $2 million in tax money flows out of Indiana to Planned Parenthood every year? Did you know that? So Senator Greg Walker wanted to stop that. Unfortunately, the bill didn't get a hearing. We'll be back pushing for that next year. Your tax dollars should not be going to anybody that supports or advocates or performs abortions. I interviewed this candidate the other day. Well, a few times this has happened. Had a candidate come into my office and wanted to talk to me about running for office. We don't endorse people, but I listened to him, told him what we believed, and he said this. He said, abortion is murder. He got it. Abortion is the taking of an innocent human life. Abortion is murder. Protecting churches from taxation. Folks, when those property tax caps hit next year, on your home, you'll pay 1%. On a farm, that's of the assessed valuation. So if your home's worth $100,000, you'll pay about $1,000 in taxes. It can go up if they build schools or if they build government buildings, public buildings, town buildings. Your amount of your taxes will go up, or if your assessment goes up. We're going to talk about the way to solve that. That's through repealing it. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Farms and rental property, 2% of your assessed valuation. Businesses and everything else, 3%. A church is everything else. If your property here, I have with me a newspaper article from the Franklin newspaper. Mayors of the 32 largest cities have gotten together and with the legislature to look at the exemptions that nonprofit organizations get. That includes churches. There will be a continuous push. Well, let me read you the statement from Representative Jackie Walorski, a good friend of Representative Bruce Borders. The pastors and people of Indiana need to know there will be continuous attempts to tax churches and church ministries, including Christian schools, Bible colleges, and campgrounds. Many elected officials at the local and state level believe it is acceptable to tax churches. What would the tax be on this church next year if they got their way and taxed it as all other? If this property is just worth $1 million, no doubt worth more than that, just worth $1 million, your tax bill every year would be $30,000 a year to begin with. How many missionaries would that mean that you couldn't support? Well, look at the impact on this church. Your tithes and offerings shouldn't be going to the government. You already pay more than enough to the government. So we will continue to lead the battle to protect this church and other churches from being taxed. One of the ways they'll do it is what they tried in 2008. They'll say, well, we won't tax you on the worship area of your church. So they come out here, they're probably, they look around and say, oh, the athletic field, that's not worship. Oh, the auditorium, that's worship. That building over there, that ain't worship. Folks, everything that you do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is done for Jesus Christ. The government should not have the opportunity to come out and say how much land you can have. It should not be able to come out and say what part of your property is or is not used to worship Jesus Christ, because it's all used to worship Jesus Christ. So we will continue to lead the effort to protect churches from being taxed. But think with me, every $1 million in valuation, $30,000 each and every year to the government. Men in women's restrooms. after I was with you last year, I helped lead the effort in Goshen, Indiana. Anybody here ever been at Goshen, Indiana? Goshen, up north there? Goshen, Indiana. I got a phone call. They said the same thing was about to happen that they tried last year in Indiana. You know what happened in Colorado? I mentioned it last year. In Colorado, I'll just read it to you again. In Colorado, they passed a law that said that men who dress as women, that they are to be recognized by the government as acceptable and recognized lifestyle. It's called gender identity. Folks, men who dress as women are wrong. The Bible says that's not supposed to happen, okay? But in Colorado, they passed a law that said men who dress as women are recognized by the government as a legitimate class. And here's what's happened in Colorado. A female intern at Focus on the Family encountered a man in a women's restroom at a local airport legally. A teen girl saw a man in a women's restroom at a Colorado Springs area Walmart legally. Two teenage girls discovered a man undressing in a women's locker room in a Denver area fitness facility legally in Colorado. Last year in Goshen, I received a phone call. I went to Goshen, Indiana. I met with local elected officials. I met with state elected officials. In Goshen, Indiana, they tried to pass the same thing they tried in our state last year, and we stopped it. They tried to do it in a city. Went up there, and I helped coordinate the testimony. I was one of the closing speakers. By the time I finished speaking, the seven members of the Goshen City Council knew that if they passed an ordinance giving government recognition to cross-dressers, that every women's restroom and dressing room in Goshen is a place where a man dressed in a dress or a sexual predator could be there to harm children, to harm girls, teenage girls, and women. They knew that. They knew that in the city of Goshen, if they passed this, that if a man has a business and a man shows up to work that day dressed in a dress and they fire him, that they couldn't do that. They knew that. They knew they were also threatening churches with this ordinance up there in Goshen. You thought, boy, Eric, if they understood all that, by the time that after you finished talking and they voted, it's about 1:30 in the morning, after about 6 hours of testimony, you know what? They probably all voted 7-0 to stop that. No, we won 4-3. We won by one vote. Folks, the other side doesn't give up. They'll be back in Indianapolis trying this. They'll be back in cities like Goshen, and a week from Tuesday, it appears in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I've already been on the phone working with them up there. It appears in Fort Wayne, Indiana, they will try the very same thing, to give government recognition to men who dress as women. What are they trying to do? You teach your boys. When I walk into Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I can look and I say, that's a boy, that's a girl. By the way, they dress, okay? There's a difference between boys and girls. And you know that, and the boys and girls know that, and that's the way they dress, that's the way they act. You know that. What is the other side? Remember what I said? One day they'll call good evil and evil good, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They're trying to blur the distinctions between male and female. That's why in marriage it's between a male and a female. They say, no, it's not. It can be two men or two women. No, it's not right. And so what they'll try to do in Fort Wayne is what they tried to do in Goshen, and what they'll try to do in Indiana, and what they've already done in Colorado. We need to constantly... A founding father once said, each generation must re-win its liberty. Just because you win one year in the legislature, folks, it's not over. They'll come back again. Turn your sheet over, please. Protecting life. We will continue to help lead the effort to protect life in Indiana. Hopefully, our Supreme Court one day will rule soon that abortion is wrong and give us the opportunity to ban abortion in the state of Indiana. Hate crimes. Just what your preacher was talking about. There is a move constantly to pass hate crime legislation in Indiana that will make it against the law eventually for a pastor to preach the truth about what the Bible says about homosexuality and face fine or the church losing its tax-exempt status or the preacher going to jail if he continues to preach that. You must understand, folks, the other side is dedicated, organized, well-funded, and intent on pushing their agenda on the families and citizens and churches of America. Bible-believing Christians need to understand that we are in a war. These people are out to destroy the very America and freedoms that you enjoy, including the right of this pastor to preach the truth. By the way, who is the best friend a homosexual has? It is a Bible-believing Christian who will tell them the truth about their sin. That Jesus loves them, that their homosexuality is a sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. He shed his precious blood to wash away all of their sins, including that. And if they turn from their sin, repent of their sin, turn to Jesus Christ, they can be saved and have a home in heaven. The best friend a homosexual has is a Bible-believing Christian who will tell them the truth. So what is Satan trying to do? Shut down the preaching of the truth about what homosexuality is. Some churches may say homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle. Your preacher says what the Bible says. It's a sin. It's an abomination in the sight of God. And they need to be told that so they can repent of their sin and turn to Jesus Christ. We will continue to work to fight against hate crime legislation, repealing property taxes. In Indiana, you buy a home. Anybody here lived in their home more than 10 years? Anybody here lived in your home more than 20 years? Anybody here lived in your home more than 30 years? Whoa, that's good. Do you know if you buy a home, pay off your mortgage, something happens financially, somebody dies, you have medical expenses, and you can't pay your property taxes, what will happen? You've lived in it 30 years. You've paid off your mortgage, paid all these taxes for schools and local government. You've done your fair share. What will happen? The government will take your home and sell it. You are only renting from the government. Because if you rent an apartment and can't pay your apartment rent, they will evict you. So we are still leading the effort to give you the right to vote to repeal property taxes, beginning with your home, eventually for the farm, for your rental property, and for your business. You know what will happen down here in Southwest Indiana, the time that we repeal property taxes? You know what I think will happen? The housing market will take off, and people will start flocking here to start a business, because what happens when they start the Honda plant, when they start the Toyota plant, when they start these plants, what do they give them? Abatements. They say, please come to our state. You don't have to pay property taxes for 5 or 10 years. What if you tell these businesses, you don't have to pay property taxes ever? Please come to Indiana. Guess what? I think jobs will be created. But you know what? Somebody says, well, how are you going to fund local government? We already did an analysis. If you control spending and have a small increase in sales and income and an increase in business taxes, you can completely repeal all property taxes, but you must control spending. That's what a lot of people in government don't want to do. But it's what you have to do from time to time, all the time, if you want to raise your family right. Now, parental choice in education, we believe the time needs to come when children, if they go to a Christian school or a home school or a public school, that you're not paying double taxes, that there will be a scholarship, what is called an educational scholarship or whatever, that follows the child. So the money follows the child. Without giving control over the Christian school to the government, we believe it's like with the GI Bill. You give the money to parents and let them choose where to educate their child. Gambling. We don't need any more gambling in Indiana. They're talking about maybe a casino in Indianapolis, a casino in Fort Wayne. They say, well, that will help create jobs. The way you create good-paying jobs is for the government to create an atmosphere where businessmen and women can create jobs and not taxing and regulating businesses. Family and Freedom Days, just two more of these. Next Tuesday and the Tuesday after that, where you can come to the State House. After you go with us, we're there in our office at 9 o'clock, about 10:15, we walk to the State House, and we meet with an individual from the Lieutenant Governor's office, and then you can also be able to talk to your senator and representative. You say, Eric, we need to protect our preacher from going to jail for preaching the truth about homosexuality. Eric, I'd like to have the right to vote to repeal property taxes. Eric, I don't want our church taxed. Eric, I don't want men in women's restrooms. Eric, I want to stop the funding of Planned Parenthood. Eric, I want to protect marriage between a man and a woman. I don't want our church regulated. Eric, we got a lot of battles. Yes, we do. But just as with this bus ministry that you've got, that bus ministry could not exist if it was just a preacher doing the job. It takes all of you helping, praying, giving, drivers, workers. It takes all of you. In this battle for freedom, it takes all of us as well. And that's how we've come up with the Proud Hoosier Partnership. Take the other thing that you've got there in that envelope. This is for every family. We're going to wrap this up pretty fast here by talking about what you can do. I appreciate this church because this church has supported us faithfully for many, many years. I appreciate your preacher who encourages other pastors to support us. And I appreciate many of you that have joined the Proud Hoosier Partnership. But I'm going to ask every family here tonight to do this. I'm going to ask every family to do four things. Number one, pray more than you've ever prayed for America, for Indiana, and for Advance America. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It also says you have not because you ask not. So please pray for us. Number two, vote biblical values in this election coming up. You ready for this? Do you know how many people will probably vote this election? It's an off-year election. Maybe 30% of the people. That means if the Bible-believing Christians get out and vote, guess what? We can make a huge difference. In the last off-year election, where there was not a president or governor, was 2006. In that election, three races for the Indiana House of Representatives were decided by, you ready for this? 54 votes. A handful of votes made a difference in three races. Why is it important who you vote for state representative and state senator? All state reps are up this time, and your state senator is one of the 25 of the 50 that's up this time, John Waterman. Why is it important who wins for state rep and state senator? Because whoever wins this time will redraw the geographic boundaries for the next 10 years. Who wins this year will help decide the direction of Indiana on these and other issues I've talked about for the next 10 years. Also in Indiana, you're electing a U.S. senator. Also in Indiana, you're electing all nine congressmen. That can impact what happens in Washington, D.C. There may not be 30% of the people vote. But how are you going to know who to vote for? Based upon the best-looking candidate? Based upon the slickest radio ad, TV ad, direct mail piece, the guy with the most yard signs? You need to vote based on biblical values. The truth about where they stand, not where they say they stand. And that's why we put out voter guides, so that you'll know the truth about where these people stand. So number one, pray. Number two, vote biblical values. Number three, hold them accountable. Once they're in office and you get an email from us, had a young lady come up to me, ask about our email, said that their family now has email. That's wonderful. 5 to 10 emails or phone calls is an avalanche on most issues because most people don't know what's going on, but they know that. Again, the politicians aren't like Senator Waterman, Representative Borders, but many of the people in both parties don't want you knowing what's going on. By the way, there's a couple of races just north of here that could help decide the direction of Indiana. One's out of Terre Haute, Clay, and Owen County. There's a race right there that's going to make a difference, maybe, who controls the House of Representatives, hence the next 10 years in the House of Representatives. So that's a race not too far. There's a race in Greencastle, another race not too far from here. Two races up here in the west central part of Indiana. By the way, and your representative and your senator down here, Representative Borders, as you may recall, he had spent against him the last time close to $500,000 to try to defeat him. And so there will be a lot of money spent to go against those people that take a stand for what's right, like your senator and like your representative. Number one, pray. Number two, vote biblical values. Number three, hold them accountable or stay in touch with them and say thank you. And number four, join the Proud Hoosier Partnership. I can only get around to 50, 60, 70 churches maybe at the most in a year. Jim and Dwayne go out and speak. They can get around maybe to say just the same amount. That's 100 churches. How are we going to get information to other churches? Well, it takes a staff, it takes money, it takes direct mail, it takes our radio program, it takes voter guides, going out to people, and that's where your financial support comes in. And so you say, Eric, I want to have a part in this. Yes, I'm grateful that our church does, but our family, Eric, what does it cost our family to join the Proud Hoosier Partnership? It costs $8 a month, or an annual gift of $96. That's somebody asked me tonight. They said, Eric, it started out 8 and 08. Are you at 10 and 010? No, but if you want to give $10 a month, that's okay too. But it's still just $8 a month for 12 months or an annual gift of $96. That's all. And you can do it by way of a credit card, a debit card, or a check. And I'd encourage everybody to do this before you leave here tonight because that way then you can get the books. You say, books? Do I get a book? Yes. You get two books. One, I revised the book that I wrote. It's revised for this year, How to Understand and Impact Indiana Government. Got new information in it. So if you join before, you get the new book. And for the first time, people, they get One Nation Under God, 10 Things Every Christian Should Know About the Founding of America. You get that book. You say, Eric, I'm going to renew tonight. Then you get the book that is on the lives of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, plus my new book. You say, Eric, I'm going to do it for the third time tonight. I'm going to renew. Had a man come up and tell me that. Fine, we have a book on Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration. Wonderful book about a Christian man. And you get my revised book. But you say, Eric, just $8 a month. Does that really make a difference? Oh, it sure does. Because you give us hundreds and hundreds of people like last year that joined, That helps provide the financial lifeblood to get the information out. It's an investment in your family, your church, your freedoms, your children, your grandchildren. So I'd encourage every family to join tonight for just that $8 a month or an annual gift of $96. Now you say, Eric, you're down there with Dwayne and Jim and the staff of Advance America, and you're down there fighting on these issues. Eric, do you ever get discouraged? Yeah. Do you ever get irritated? Yes. Do you ever get upset? Sometimes. Yeah. But you know what? Then I get around somebody like your preacher. I need to call your preacher probably about once a week. Tell me again why I'm doing this. Those guys don't like me over there. You should have been with me today. This one state representative, real quickly, then we'll wrap this up. This state representative stood up at a committee hearing and was printed in the Indianapolis Star, and when she was making her comments about her bill on regulating churches, and she was all upset, the newspaper reported accurately she was staring straight at me. She didn't like me. My job is not to be popular with the politicians. My job, the Lord has given me, is to be your eyes and ears in state government. But it's a team effort. And this battle for freedom is bigger than Jim, Dwayne, Eric, and the staff of Advance America. We really do need your prayers. When we go over there to the State House, do you know how many lobbyists there are for just the gambling industry and the abortion industry and for the homosexual lobbyist? Over 100 paid lobbyists. There's three of us. You say, Eric, how in the world can you win? Because we serve a great God. Amen. We got people praying for us. We got people to help us get out our newsletters and our direct mail so people didn't make phone calls and emails. And that's how it works. Because humanly speaking, we got too many people going against us. Ah, but we serve a great God. And we have co-laborers in you. So tonight I would challenge you, as we have an invitation here in just a minute. Are you doing all that you can do for your family? Are you praying with your kids? Are you having family devotions? Are you teaching them about soul winning? Are you taking them out on a bus route, calling, maybe riding the bus? When the preacher says we need to do something, do your kids hear, let's go back to preacher, let's go do this for the Lord Jesus Christ through Blessed Hope? Are you doing everything that you can do with your family, with your kids, your grandkids? That's your family. Are you doing everything you can do in the church? Are you backing the preacher with every initiative that he's got? First of all, to make sure you're right with the Lord, and then you're saying, Lord, bless our church more than we've ever seen. And Lord, what do you got for me to do in the church more than I've ever done before? Are you doing all through this church that you can do? And thirdly, what about our government? We need intercessors for America. We need intercessors for Advance America and for your elected officials. Are you praying? Are you always voting biblical values? Are you helping hold the elected officials accountable? Are you asking God to bless our land and bless this upcoming election? Are you doing all that you can do, but you cannot get any of your prayers answered for your family, your church, or your government if you're not saved? If you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't get your prayers answered. So tonight, that's the first question. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Ask Him to forgive you for your sins. Know that He washed your sins in His precious blood that He shed on the cross. And if you've done that, have you followed the Lord then in believer's baptism? And have you joined with this local church and said, Lord, I want to serve through this church? And then, are you keeping your heart right with the Lord? Are you on the front lines for the Lord Jesus Christ in your home, in this church, and in our government? The three institutions that God created and wants to bless more than we want Him to. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the chance to be here tonight. For this precious pastor, Lord, who loves you and takes a stand for righteousness and is leading this church to greater heights. Lord, I pray for every family here, every person here. Lord, that everyone here would be truly saved. Lord, and if not, that they would accept you as their Savior tonight. That everyone here would be doing all that they ought to be doing in their home, in the church, and in the government. Lord, give us intercessors. Give us workers. Give us soul winners for you. Bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name. Preacher.